Morning, let us ask the Lord to bless the reading of the Word and also the preaching of the Word to us. Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the privilege that we have as your children to hear your Word once again. We pray, Father, that you would bless that Word to us, that indeed you would show us your truth, that you would lead us into your path. We pray that you would grant us hearts that are receptive to that truth. We pray, Father, that you would bind the devil as he would have us be distracted. We pray that you would help us, that we would be able to rise above even our preconceived notions that we may have, and that we would humbly submit to your truth, your word. We pray that you would keep that word free from the wisdom of men, the wisdom of this age, that this would not be in accordance to our wisdom, but indeed it would be based upon the truth that you have revealed to us, your people. We pray that you would be honored in the way that word is proclaimed, that you would bless your servant with all that he stands in need of. Keep him, O Lord, and his frailties, his imperfections from being a hindrance to that word. Rather, may we truly be able to receive that word and humbly submit to it as it comes to us with the authority that it has in and of itself, being the word of the living and true God. For we pray these things all in Christ's name. Amen. We would turn our Bibles to Proverbs, first of all, Proverbs 24. We heard earlier of walking in the scripture reading, and as we read that portion from Ephesians 5 and a reminder of God's law, we heard of how we're to walk circumspectly as the wise and not the fool. We have, in keeping with that, in Proverbs 24, you have a very good instance here of how the wise walks. Proverbs 24, starting at verse 30. We'll read 30 to 34. I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. And if we turn in the New Testament, Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 12, we'll read 12 through 16. Philippians 2:12 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. If you would keep our Bibles open to Proverbs chapter 24. As you see in the bulletin, our sermon text this morning is Proverbs 24, verses 30 through 34. Proverbs 24, 30 through 34. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, friends and visitors, last week we heard God's word from Proverbs 28 verse 4, where we heard that the law of God is really the measuring stick that man has, we said not just the believer, but that man has that allows him to recognize and to contend against evil. Remember, without that measuring stick, he can't really recognize evil for what it is. As a matter of fact, we heard that once he forsakes the law, then he plunges himself into all manner of wickedness. But not only that, but he starts to see sin and wickedness in a whole different light. And we heard of how that it was even true in the Garden of Eden, when all of a sudden that same fruit that was once forbidden, once Eve started to look at that apart from God's law, all of a sudden that which was once forbidden goes from being forbidden to where it was desirable to make one wise. It's only a matter of time before evil becomes praiseworthy. And we're reminded of that truth, the truth of that verse, all around us in the world we live in. As a matter of fact, you know, in the sports world right now, you know, we have a further proof of that. A person is going to receive an ESPY as an award for courage because he's had a sex change. And the sports world is going to honor him this week with an ESPY, a sports award, because he's done this. And we see how evil is being praised, just like the scripture says. But the question that we have to ask ourselves as believers is this: do we really see that progression at work? Do we really understand it? When we see the sins of others or the sin around us, and even our own sins, do we really see how it's a result of forsaking God's law? Do we really see that this is the very thing, even if we observe it in others, that this is the very thing that can happen to us once we forsake God's law? So often, I'm afraid, we look, but we really don't see. So often, we see, but we really don't perceive. We observe, but we're not warned. Brothers and sisters, this ought not to be. This isn't walking circumspectly as the wise in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is stomping about carelessly and foolishly as the unwise. As those who are made wise in Christ, we're to live in that wisdom. The Bible calls us to that. We're called to that by our Heavenly Father, to live as the wise in Christ. Not wise in and of ourselves, but those who've been made wise in Christ and those who've been blessed with the wisdom of Christ. In our text this morning, we see the wise in Christ observing and considering the ways of the lazy man. And not just recounting of what he sees. You know, this isn't just a little thing where he says, I went by and I saw this, and he recounts of that. But no, we see that he sees and he learns from the lazy man's ways. Often we hear the expression, you know, I have to learn from my mistakes. And it's especially true of a lot of young people. You know, they have this idea, well, I'll learn from my mistakes. And as believers, God expects us that we would learn from our mistakes and our sins. Now, this is a little bit of a tangent, but we have to be careful. The Bible does make a difference between those mistakes and sins. We should not confuse them, because that is giving room to the devil as well when we start calling sins mistakes. You know, if I forget to switch this thing on, that's a mistake. It's not a violation of God's law. But when I lie, that's a sin, and it's to be dealt with differently. We're to learn from both of them, no doubt, from our mistakes as well as our sins. But we have to be careful as believers that we don't confuse the two. There is much of that in the world today. And as a result, we don't deal with sins the way we ought to, because we treat them like mistakes. And a mistake, you don't have to repent of a mistake. You don't have to seek forgiveness. You have not violated sin, first of all, against God and the person that you've sinned against when it comes to a mistake. But a sin is to be treated very differently. And we're to learn from these, no doubt. He wants us to learn, certainly, how to overcome in both of these areas in terms of our mistake, so that we don't keep falling into them, but certainly in terms of our sins. We're to learn of the things that ensnare us, and we're to prayerfully work at overcoming them. However, even more importantly than learning from our mistakes and sins is learning from the mistakes and sins of others. For if we consider well the sins of others and the steps that led into that sin and the consequences of those sins, we can learn many valuable lessons as to how to keep ourselves from falling into that very sin. But sadly, too often, we allow ourselves to walk as the fools walk. We allow ourselves to think we're stronger and we're better than that other person. And we somehow can walk the same path that they walked, but not reap the same consequences. We can be the one to take coals into our laps and not be burned. That person took it. He was burned because, you see, he wasn't smart enough. We get to where we fail to take heed, and so we fall. But brothers and sisters, we see the very opposite of this failing to take heed in our text this morning. And this is really the way of the wise, where he does take heed, where he walks and observes and learns. In our text this morning, we see how Solomon was able to observe the sin of another and was able to learn from it. So let us hear God's word this morning from the theme, by observing the lazy, the wise in Christ receives instruction as to the end of such a way. By observing the lazy, the wise in Christ receives instruction as to the end of such a way. I pray that the Holy Spirit would bless the word to our hearts and lives this morning, that we would hear and understand how important it is to consider the ways, certainly our ways, but also the ways of others, so that we would learn from their ways. If you look in the bulletin, our points are there, and if you would look at our first point, it tells us that there is a required wisdom before such instruction can be received. There is a required wisdom before such instruction can be received. If you look at our text in Proverbs 24, it paints a picture of a man walking on his way, and as he's walking, he passes by this field, and he looks intently at the field. And it is as if the field spoke to him. In our text, Solomon, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he did not seem to set out to go to that field, the field of the lazy. Our text does not say, I went to the field of the lazy man. Rather, it says, I went by that field. As he's walking by the way, he sees that and he observes. And as he's going by that field, he considered it well. And he received instruction, it says. We could easily dismiss this in thinking, well, obviously, anyone looking at that could learn the same thing. In other words, many would say, well, you don't have to be a believer to see that. But this is not true. The fool, obviously, who owned the field, was never instructed by it. So too, there would have been many others who would have walked by that field and think nothing of it, except probably, hey, look, a field. There would have been many who looked at the field and may have blamed something or someone else for the condition that is there. Their conclusion could have been something like, when they look at it, they could have concluded, the rich in this society gets richer, and the poor at the expense of the poor people. Or they could have concluded, the government is not doing enough for these poor people. Or worse yet, they could have looked at it and say, that's a wise man. Because if he keeps doing that, he'll have lack and he'll receive for free from the government. You see, the point that I'm making is this. Sinful man, in observing the acts of sinful man, always, always reasons away from the sinful nature. Whenever the sinner observes the sinful acts of man, whether it's himself or a fellow man, he always reasons away from the sinful nature of man. You'll never hear in the world today that the problem beneath this is the sinfulness of man. There'll be something always away from that. The conclusion will never be his sinful desire, his sinful nature. As a matter of fact, much of what we have around here, we don't have a sinful nature. And that around here, I mean the world. Human psychology and everything else, it starts with the idea of what? That man is basically neutral. And the problem, you see, is society. The problem are the things that are there that have been written on that man as such, you know, that tabula rasa, that blank slate that he came into this world. And the problem is all the influences and the things around him. It's never his fault. And that's just an outworking of this, that's the tendency that we have in our sinfulness. That's the sinful nature at work, where we always reason away from that sinful nature. It's never my fault. There is always something else to be blamed. And that's why it's very much like our point says. There is a required wisdom before we can receive such an instruction. For apart from God's grace, man will never look at that field in the light of God's word. He will never see what's happening there in the light of God's word. When an unbeliever looks at that field, and when a man who by grace have been made wise in Christ, he's not better in and of himself. He looks at the field, really and truly they see two different things. They receive two different sets of instructions. Solomon was looking at the field in the light of what God commands. That we should be diligent in our work. That we should be good stewards of the things that God has blessed us with. That we must work and live to the glory of God. And it's in light of those truths, or these truths, that he received instructions. And in Proverbs 22:3 and Proverbs 27:12, it tells us that a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. The prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but it also tells us that the simple pass on and are punished. That prudent man in these verses is really the man who has been made wise in Christ. He's able to foresee evil. This does not mean that he's a fortune teller, but it does mean that he looks at life in the light of what God says. He knows that what a man sows, he will reap. And so he's very mindful as to what he sows. He says, and he's able to see, hey, if I go down this path, while it looks good really right now, it leads to a mouthful of gravel in the end. And so he avoids that path. Whereas the simple-minded, and when it speaks of the simple-minded there, it's really talking about the man who's dead in sin still. It's really talking about the man whose mind lacks the government of God's word. He passes by and is punished. The simple looks at that field and says, that can never happen to me. He figures the man who reaps the consequences of his sinful action is really stupid. Had it been he could have done the same thing and he would never suffer the consequences. He can be the one to take coal in his laps and not be burned. The other person got burned, but you see, that person wasn't as smart. Brothers and sisters, if indeed we've been made wise in Christ, we ought to consider certainly our ways, but also the ways of others. So often, we see those who fail at their work, those who work in an ungodly manner, and we never stop to consider and to learn so that we can avoid those very steps and we can work for God's glory. In our scripture reading in Philippians 2, 12 through 16, we're called to work out our salvation, our own salvation, with fear and trembling. And while this verse actually talks about a field and different things like that, there are parallels that can be drawn in our working out our salvation with fear and trembling. In this case, or in that case, the field may be compared to a person's life, a believer's life, his salvation. And in this too, so often we see others who profess to be believers with their fields overgrown and weeds instead of the Word of God. Their walls are broken down, and yet we don't stop to consider. We never stop to ask ourselves, am I on the same path that led this person to that sorry condition? This believer to where he professes Christ, and yet he never lives for the glory of God. We see people who are in the church, and yet they live like unbelievers, and we never consider, am I on that same path? We see broken marriages, family broken apart, rebellious children, and we never consider well and receive instruction. We never stop to think, this too is going to be my end if I don't live in obedience to God. Beloved, let us live as the wise in Christ and not as fools who passes on the way and are punished. Let's go on to our second point to see what Solomon observes as he considers the field of that lazy man. And our second point tells us that the wise observes the way of the lazy, and he observes that way of the lazy is one of neglect and waste. in verse 31, it tells us, "And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down." Really what it shows, this field shows all the signs of neglect and waste. He obviously had neglected his field for some time, as it was overgrown with thorns, and the ground, the surface of it, was all covered with nettles. If we know anything about living our lives in this fallen world, we know that God has cursed this earth so that all labor would be affected by thorns and thistles. The weeds that are among our labor, they're really a constant reminder to man in general that he lives in a fallen world. And to the believer, it should really be a pointer to the hope that they have in Christ Jesus. You know, when we encounter the difficulties, the struggles, the thorns and thistles, if you will, in our lives, it ought to be a reminder to us as believers of the hope that we have in Christ. It ought to be a pointer of that hope, that new heaven and new earth, where these effects of sin would be once and for all removed. But the believer and the faithful worker is to remove, he's called to remove these weeds as they appear in his life. He isn't to leave them to where they become big and burdensome shrubs and trees. These weeds often start out as seedlings. But if we neglect to remove them, they grow. They don't go away. And so this field really shows all the signs of neglect. It was obviously left like that for a long, long time. It also shows the signs of waste. You know, this man had a field. His excuse could not have been, "Oh, if only I had my own field." No, he had his own field. But he never seized the opportunity. It is quite possible, and our text doesn't tell us that, but it's quite possible that he didn't work to obtain that field, given his character. It probably was passed on to him as an inheritance from his parents, but regardless of the details, he owned that field, and he had the opportunity to cultivate that field and make something of it. Verse 31 also tells us that its stone wall was broken down. That which was put there so as to keep out the animals and different things, that too was broken down. Even if there was a chance of getting some profitable crop from the field, where something just sprung up, you know, maybe the birds sprouted there or anything like that, the walls were broken down so the animals could easily get into that field. It was an easy prey. Brothers and sisters, our God expects us to be good stewards of whatever He's blessed us with. He expects that at our work, but also in our homes and in our relationships and in every part of our life, that He commands us to work out with fear and trembling. He calls us to work diligently, and part of that diligence is our lives should not show the signs of thorns and thistles. He's called us to be diligent in uprooting those, in dealing with the sins, the effects of sins in our lives. We're to be diligent at battling against the effects of sin. They just don't go away by themselves. They grow into shrubs and trees that are harder to remove, and that have a way of stifling out anything that is godly. How often we easily fall into the thinking that we can ignore sinful practices and they will somehow go away. You know, kind of like probably this lazy man was hoping if he left it there, somehow or the other it would get better. Well, it doesn't. How often we can think that we can be lazy and our work will be marked, and our work can be marked with procrastination and other sinful practices, but somehow God is still going to bless our labor. Well, whether that be in our physical labor or our spiritual lives, it's never going to happen. How often we act as if we can be spiritually lazy and still have a field and a vineyard, a spiritual life that is just flourishing. We can ignore God's law for living our lives for His glory, and then we're surprised when our lives are filled with thorns and thistles. We ignore our stone wall, the strength that is ours in Christ Jesus and the wisdom that He's blessed us with, the word that He's entrusted to us. And then we're shocked when we become such easy targets to temptation and sin. Brothers and sisters, we ought to consider well our lives in the light of God's word. God has blessed us with the grace of salvation, with the measure of health that we do have, with work, with earthly possessions, with relationships, with a church that preaches and teaches the word of God. Let us not fall into neglect and waste. For the path of neglect and waste leads to the end of lack and poverty, as we'll see in our final point. And our final point tells us that the wise is instructed that such a way leads to lack and poverty. In verses 32, if you look at verse 32 in the way it's translated there, in verse 32 it ends with a colon to show that what follows in verses 33 and 34 are really the instructions that he received. When he looked at the field and he considered well and he received instruction, this is the instruction that he received. Verse 33 and following says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hand to rest, so shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. Now this obviously is not teaching that to take a rest or to sleep is wrong. But this person does no work. His field testifies of that. He's lazy. He's busy sleeping instead of working. He's not sleeping and resting because he's tired from working. He is sleeping and resting because he does not want to work. He refuses to work. And interestingly enough, while he's in bed, you know, another man is considering well his field and learning from it. But he's too devoid of understanding to say, wait a minute, I can't continue like this. And the Holy Spirit tells us of the consequences of such a life. It says, so shall your poverty come like a prowler. The idea of a prowler is one who draws closer and closer. He's traveling toward you. As a matter of fact, the King James Version translates this as, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, one who's drawing closer. Every minute that we're lazy, poverty draws closer. And before we know it, it springs up upon us like an armed man to where we have to surrender to him, to where we're helpless against him. Now, brothers and sisters, obviously this speaks of our work and the need to work and how we ought to work and so on. If we're going to be lazy when it comes to our work, it's only a matter of time before we're overcome with poverty and need. But it seems to me that most of us, yes, not all, but most, we learn that lesson relatively easy because the scripture says, our appetite drives us to work, and our desire for material things drive us on and so on. What I mean is, most of us quickly learn that if we don't work, our bills are not paid, and so we work. Please note that I didn't say anything about working as unto the Lord, for when one works just to pay bills, you will not work as unto the Lord. But our text does not get into that. But at least he wouldn't be sleeping and folding his hand to rest because he's learned that, you know, I need to work. But a lesson that is much harder to learn is that of being spiritually lazy and how this laziness can apply to our spiritual lives as well. It is that lesson where we fail to understand that spiritual laziness leads to spiritual poverty and spiritual need. And the Bible does teach that. In the book of Hebrews, it tells us of a people who by now it says you should be teachers. But instead, you have to be taught the basic things again. You're spiritually lazy. You're spiritually immature, it warns them. We know that just hearing about work and about how we should work, that doesn't pay the bill. And yet we don't easily grasp that just hearing how we ought to live as unto the Lord is not enough. We need to put that into practice. We can easily make sacrifices so as to not be faced with material poverty and need. And yet we find it so hard to make sacrifices to avoid spiritual need and spiritual poverty. We want to fulfill our appetites for material things, but we really allow our soul to languish. We protect our material things by building fences, by putting up bars, by installing alarms, but we leave ourselves exposed to the devil who prowls around looking for those whom he may devour. How? By failing to rule over our own spirit in the light of God's word. We fail to see what Proverbs 25:28 warns us of. And therein it warns us. It says, whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. This tells us very clearly, if a man cannot govern himself in accordance to God's word, he's an easy prey. He's like a city without walls. He's just like that vineyard with the stone walls broken down, and he becomes an easy target. An easy target for temptation, for sin, for the devil, for the world, for living out his own sinful nature, tendencies that he has. Because he's not spent time in terms of seeing that he needs to guard his own spirit in the light of God's word. Brothers and sisters, the words of our text in verses 33 and 34 are true, yes, materially, when it comes to our work, but it's equally true spiritually, when it comes to our spiritual lives, when it comes to our working out our salvation with fear and trembling. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, so shall your poverty come upon you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. I pray that we would be warned and we would see the need to not be like the fool who just leaves it and sits back and sleeps and never sees the consequences of it. But that indeed we would be like the wise in Christ and that we would walk circumspectly. That when we observe even the sins of others, we would learn from it. We would be quick to praise our God for His grace to where we say, had it not been for God's grace in my life, there go I. But also that we would be warned to the point to where we say, if we walk in that way, that too would be the consequence for me. My God has warned me and He's not mocked. In conclusion, congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is important that we consider well our ways in the light of God's word. In the way we live, in the way we work, in the way we worship, that we may learn and grow so that we may indeed become blameless and harmless children of God. But as the wise in Christ, we're also to consider well even the sins of others. Even the sins of others. For there isn't going to be a single sin that you observe and I observe that we're not prone to. There isn't a single sin that you and I will observe that we're not prone to. May we consider well even the sins of others that we may be instructed. That we may be instructed as to the subtlety and the deception of sin. So that we can prayerfully work at avoiding that path. May the Lord convict us of the work that is needed in our lives. That we may truly show ourselves to be those in whom Christ continues to work both to will and to do His good pleasure. Amen. Let us pray together. Our loving Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Your word. We're thankful, O Lord, for the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for His ongoing work in us, for the wisdom that He blesses with. We pray, O Lord, that You would help us, that we would walk circumspectly, carefully, as we live our day-to-day lives, as we live in this world, that we would live as those who are the wise in Christ Jesus, that as we observe sins in our lives, the sin around us, that we may consider well, that we may be instructed. We pray, O Lord, that You would forgive us for the times where we walk as the fool. We never consider, we're never warned, we never take heed, and therefore we find ourselves falling into the very things. We pray, Father, that You would forgive us for such times and that You would renew in us a desire, that we would desire to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We thank You that You continue to work in us, that we can work that out. We thank you for your grace even in this. For so often we can be stubborn children. We can live as if we're foolish. Yet we thank you that you are patient with us. And we pray, O Lord, that you would help us, that we would truly desire to show ourselves to be those who are alive in Christ Jesus. Those who are harmless and blameless. Children of the living and true God. Bless us with such a desire. Bless us with the wisdom that we stand in need of. May we truly be children who cling to the word of our Heavenly Father. For we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.